Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
Hello, sister.
Boo.
Boo.
Okay, that's literally Boo's laugh, though.
Okay, no. It's like, yeah! Like, it's, but faster. Can you speed that up in post?
Nah.
It's sort of, okay. It's sort of more like that. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We are your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today, we're going to be doing part one of the Pretty Little Liars finale, season 7, episode 20.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
With a capital A in death.
Of course.
And A, I think. And part, I think. They both have a capital A.
I feel like maybe it's a little much.
I thought it was a little much, too. And then on Hulu, it is both of them. Because right now...
Listen, have you been watching on Hulu?
Yeah, I have. Because, listen, Dad is not happy.
Oh.
Dad is not happy about the HBO Max situation.
Oh, God. What's going on?
And you're in trouble because your name's on the email.
Why am I in trouble? I didn't do anything.
But how did this happen?
Well, what happened? What is he mad about?
It goes to your phone to verify. And every time he goes on, Mom and Dad are watching a show on HBO Max that they are obsessed with. Mom is like, Phoebe, get out of here because you're going to watch the show.
What
Phoebe,
the
you
show?
Cannot look at the screen. I think it's called Task.
Okay.
But they're watching that. And every time they go to log on to HBO Max, it says... Are you sure this is your account?
Oh, my God. I have no idea why it's my name. Do I pay for it?
No, they pay for it.
Sorry, a bug just flew in my face. Not that I have bugs in my house, but a bug.
Oh, my God. And here's the reveal.
Here's the reveal. I live in a bug house.
She lives in squalor.
I live in squalor. I live in a house that just has a bunch of bugs around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just that. Anyway, I don't know why the HBO account is in my name, but... I also try to be helpful. Let's just be clear.
Yes.
Because the other night, I got an email. I was in my own respective home, and I get an email saying, here's your code for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of ignoring that, I went in the family group chat. I said, if someone's trying to log into HBO, here's the code. 5 minutes later, Mom texts me, have you gotten a code from HBO? I was like, so, and guess what? I still didn't say, yeah, go look in the family group chat. I already sent it. I went in my email, I got another code, sent it to Mom, and I didn't even make any bones about it. I made no bones about it.
Well, they were making bones about it in the den.
Are you serious about me?
Well, they, in their brain, you have to understand, in their brain, it's like, it's your email.
It's my fault?
Yeah, because it's your email.
So they were mad at me, and I wasn't even there.
They're not mad at you, they're just mad at the situation, but they are like...
What kind of shit were they talking?
What did Caroline do to the HBO Max?
Oh, and that's how, you know what, that makes so much sense. That actually sounds exactly like everything sounds kind of to me. That's how everything sounds to me, is what did Caroline do to make this
Caroline,
happen?
It is your email.
Okay, but I don't remember signing up for that. I would never, believe me, I would never have signed up for an HBO account for the whole family. Believe you me.
We used to have issues with the logging in because you had to go through Verizon and Mom got tired of us asking.
It was a whole rigmarole, but I didn't change it.
But I hate to say it, like, you must have.
Phoebe, Mom made me that email address. How do you know it's not her? How do you know she didn't do it years ago when I went to college?
Because why? Well, I don't think we even had HBO Max when you were in college. No offense.
Okay. I wasn't in college in the prehistoric times, Phoebe. HBO Max fully existed.
It's relatively new.
It just might have been called HBO.
Yeah, but that was attached to their cable for so long.
You're actually offending me and annoying me with this.
All I'm saying is that...
You're calling me old, ugly. You're calling me an old, ugly witch. You're calling me like a Strega Nona type. You just said if I were on a you just found a casting call online for a show that's seeking a Strega Nona type, and you said you're perfect for this. Oh my God. All because of the HBO.
All I'm saying is that's why I had to watch this on Hulu and not HBO with ads.
Well, guess what? I would have just sent you the code.
I know, but it was kind of, but I guess you were awake. I was going to say.
Oh, believe me, Phoebe, I'm always awake.
I was going to say it was late, and then I was like, ah.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm perpetually
I went to bed, and Caroline was still sending me, like, ideas and ruminations.
And just so you guys know, I would have no idea if Phoebe was awake, because do you think she responded to a single thing?
No,
of course not.
No, I went to bed after you sent me the text of where we were going to stop, because then I was like, okay, now I know where to stop. And then I went to bed, and then my phone goes on do not disturb at a certain hour. automatically, guys. So if you're, and this is to anybody in my life, if you're
obviously
ever
she's been called out.
If you're ever texting me and like you're actively texting me and it's like 11, it turns to 11 p.m. and my phone goes into do not disturb. It's not because I saw your text and turned my phone on.
What about when it's like 9:13 p.m. and I'm in the middle of texting you and then your phone goes on do not disturb? What does that mean?
Have I done that?
Oh, every time I feel like I text you. I'll send you one text. Suddenly your phone's on do not disturb. I'm like, okay. And now I have to go burn her to the ground.
Well, sometimes it's when... Also, guys, and I don't know if you know you can do this, but like if you...
You can mute certain people.
No, that's not what I was going to say. You can do that. But if you... Like I have a very specific do not disturb set for when I go to the movies. And it turns on when I enter the parking lot of my movie theater. And it turns off when I leave.
God, I love Big Brother. The television show.
Right.
Of course. So guys, today we're getting into the finale episode. Phoebe and I watched it together last week.
But we were like dozing.
We were dozing. We were nodding off. It was late. So I don't even really remember exactly how it ended, which is good.
Good, because I don't either.
I would not admit
No. I remember how it ends, but I was like, I don't remember our shared reaction to how it ended.
Yeah, I don't either. I think we're like, okay, wow. Because we were both asleep and we didn't want to admit that we were both asleep. So anyway, we are going to break it into two because, y'all, this episode is long. This episode is like 90 minutes long.
It's a movie.
We want to get in there.
Especially with ads.
Yeah, and we want to dive in. And we don't want to, I mean, no stone left unturned. There were so many callbacks to season one, to the first episode, to earlier moments. There were so many sex scene montages.
And I was like, thank long God, skip, ones. Skip, skip.
I know. I was like, is there going to be dialogue or can I just. What the? What is
that's
that?
That's the song that plays in the first one.
Oh, that was a song? I thought you were just having kind of an episode.
No. So I want to love you helplessly. I want to love you selfishly.
Okay.
That's it.
Well.
You guys know it. And I'll never let you go.
Oh my God, she's still going. Guys, that was not me. That was Phoebe. And normally when there's singing on pod, I think you assume it's me. And I just need you to know that was Phoebe.
Carolyn, you just insulted yourself with them thinking that that could
ever
sound.
If it a little bit pitchy, well, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Okay. So Phoebe, you're on the recap.
Yeah. And when I was doing it, I was like, is this the last recap ever? But are you going to do one next week?
I don't know.
I was wondering.
Because there won't be one for me to watch.
That's true.
I could go off the cuff. Guys, let me know.
Wait, but they might love that.
Do you love an off the cuff recap from me?
They're going to say yes.
They might be like, we're good. They might be like, just get into the
we're
show.
We're actually kind of like ready
just
for you guys to
get
wrap
into
this
part
up.
Two. Really, you're doing 2 weeks of this. Just get into part two.
We're ready for it to be over.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
Here's my recap. Okay. Do you guys remember Addison? That little bitch with blue eyeliner?
How could I forget?
Yeah, who Emily like created beef with low-key. Like obviously Addison's a menace, but like I was a little bit like, Emily,
she's back.
We can back off. She's back. Also, Ezria is engaged. Haleb is married. Emerson's expecting, and also they're dating, in that order.
Yes, exactly.
And Hannah said, "About time," and that's how we knew. Hannah definitely was like, once Hannah and Emily got to college and they would like get drunk together, just the two of them.
Hannah was like,
Hannah
Emily,
would be like, Emily,
can I ask you something?
And no, not even that. Not even about having the crush on Emily, but she would be like, I never wanted to say anything about Allie, but I don't know. I think there could be something there.
Oh my God. Why do I think Hannah's like, I never wanted to say anything about Allie because I knew how you felt about her. But you can do so much better than Allie. She's so mean. Either or. Anyway, sorry, go on.
So Mary Drake is gifting the Lost Woods Resort to Spencer and Allie. And she also confesses, she gives a false confession to Lieutenant Butterscotch, who's not in this episode.
Which is insane. I'm sorry. What do you mean you couldn't book her for the finale?
We didn't even get to say goodbye.
We didn't even get the click clack of her fuck me heels, which is like a crime.
Exactly.
And so therefore we need Lieutenant Butterscotch to investigate.
So confesses to killing Archer, which obviously she didn't do, and she saves the girls. Mona confesses to killing Charlotte, but this is when she's in like her loser Mona state. Mm-hmm. Like in her brain she's reverted back to who she was way before, because Cece was like, I always knew you were a fucking loser.
And Mona was like, you know what? Me too.
Those are Cece's last words. Basically, yeah. I always knew you were a fucking loser.
They're never going to like you. You're never going to fit in. Yeah.
And Ezra's like, okay, let's fucking bring her in. And Hannah's like, no, not like this. And the game's over when Mona confesses. A leaves town and yeah.
A beats feet.
Yeah, out of there.
Guys, we open in Rosewood Times Square, where it really all began.
In front of the Apple Rose Grill.
And suddenly it has a very distinct echo. And I was wondering if this was like potentially a call, like a foreshadowing moment to like the very end of the episode. They're packing in. I mean, this opening scene actually is such a fever dream, which like it literally is. But it's crazy. So our first line of this episode is, I saw Bridget Wu at Reeve Gauche the other night. That's like a tongue twister I'm going to teach my kids. I saw Bridget Wu at Reeve Gauche last night. Okay, say it three times fast. It's hard. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. I saw Bridget Wu at Reeve Gauche last night. Okay, we nailed it.
Yeah.
But everybody else won't be able to.
I didn't know how fast we were going.
Did you guys try it with me? Sometimes when I get going with a tongue twister, it's like a train going off the tracks. I'll go fast until I can't go faster. Anyway, was she drinking out of her purse was the response. And so it's like some legacies, some things just never die. Change.
And also, this like kind of warms my heart that when we find out what this is that we're watching, because Hannah's like, she was drinking out of her Mona Vanderwaal. Yeah. And Spencer's like, I hear they're going for $1,000. And Hannah says, I always knew she'd make it.
I know. Hannah just, there's only like one moment in this episode where I feel like it doesn't feel like Hannah to me, where she has like a flawed moment, which we'll get to.
I wonder if we're thinking of the same thing.
But it is the only one I think we've like ever seen. It's the only bad moment
then
she's ever had.
We must be thinking of the same thing.
Okay. So anyway, then as the girls are all talking, Lucas shows up in a white tuxedo, top hat, cane, and he's tap dancing.
Of course.
And the girls look at him as though this is completely normal. They say, hey, Lucas, what? This had me going crazy. Then they're like, oh my God, it is so fucking hot in here. Like, holy shit, it's so hot. I wish I had like an ice pack I could put in my underwear. Like,
and then they start talking about that. And I feel like Shay Mitchell was like, all right, last fucking episode. Like, I'm just reading my lines.
Yeah, literally.
Because Aria's like, no, they make like panty liners. And Emily goes, I'm looking that up.
Okay, no, this whole the whole exchange, it's like they just need to fill time or something. I don't know, maybe talk.
Hey, you didn't need to.
You didn't.
This is an hour and a half.
This is a long ass episode. So then as they continue to talk, blind Jenna trots by on a white horse in like a ringmaster outfit and everyone completely ignores her.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, it's kind of funny is they're like, even in this scenario, we're still going to hear the click clack of Jenna Marshall, but it's not going to be a walking stick. It's going to be the clopping of a horse.
Exactly.
The clopping.
And then they start talking about, Emily says, I'm going to look up those panty liners. And Spencer says, guys, do you remember when we used to look up like murder weapons?
She's like, we used to be literally like investigators.
We used to be crazy on the run.
We used to be like fugitives. We used to be villains. We used to be
heroes.
we used to be slutty,
like, yeah. Spencer's like, why are we not slutty anymore,
you guys? Emily's like, I'm a mother.
Maybe literally that's a mother.
My moms aren't slutty, famously. I guess you wouldn't know about that, but moms aren't slutty. But they're all talking about how boring life is now, and like Allie's like, somebody asked me the other day, like, what did she say, like, what would you,
what's it like to be living a normal life?
And I've never been so offended. It's like, girl, You've never been more offended, number one. But also, like, if you think that's an offensive thing to say, let's take a look through the lexicon of Ali De Laurentiis isms. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, holy shit.
Yeah. Arya's like, I can't believe you never find out. And they're like, why do we miss A so much?
Yeah.
And Spencer says,
I
was thinking that this was going to be similar to the moment when they all say goodbye before college, when she says like a really profound thing. And then they're like, who said that? Mm-hmm. And she says, Winnie the Pooh. That's not what happens here.
No.
She says, without fear, there can be no courage. And Hannah's like, who said that? And she says, Christopher Paolini.
Yeah, she does.
Who's that?
I don't know. But then it starts snowing, even though it's apparently so hot, they need ice panty liner. So we're like, okay, what's going on here? If Lucas in the white suit and Jenna on the horse and tip us off, there's something going on here because now it's snowing. It's not absolutely snowing. And Emily's not freaking out about Christmas, so that's off. And then we kind of pan out and we realize, oh, we're in a snow globe. Oh, we're in a snow globe. And where is the snow globe? Oh, it's in Mona Vanderwall's Welby room. And Mona is like imagining this all. And the snow globe, which also is, yeah, Stevie was saying, like, sweet that she, even in, like, Mona just like knows Hannah's heart. She's like, Hannah's going to have my back even in this situation. That's not real. Blah, blah, blah.
The door opens. Mona drops the snow globe. It shatters.
Shatters everywhere. I'm just also like, I'm sorry, but somebody who's in Welby isn't allowed to have snow globe.
No.
For like this exact reason.
Glass that accessible to you?
No, no. Especially Mona Vanderwall, you've got a history. Mm-hmm. Okay. Your file is thick.
Yeah. And it's A that walks in and she's like, I can't believe it's you. And I am still like,
who is it?
Who was it? Because
it doesn't make any sense with the.
Because then later on, Mona's like, when do I get to know who you are?
Yeah. Well, then I was like, I almost wish we had like then zoomed out and this was like another dream that somebody else had, the Mona thing. Because I was just was like, number one, again, she's not having a snow globe. Mm-mm. And number two, let's just say Alex Drake walks in. Okay.
Does she think it's Spencer? Of course.
But then, yeah, then.
And she has this smile on her face that I am a little bit like, remember when Mona initially offered Spencer a spot on the A team and like kind of that feeling of, oh my gosh, like I knew you were capable of doing this.
But then it's like weird because she says, I never would have guessed it was you. And it's like, okay. And then she says, are you here to kill me? And I'm like, are you really thinking Spencer's showing up here to kill you? I don't know. So I'm just interested. I'm just not remembering. I don't believe you like come back to this and get an answer.
And we do have like the silicone mask, so it could be anything.
That's a really good point. Because it also kind of feels like a man the way that they're like standing. But I know that that can't be true. So anyway. All right. We get our theme song. Everyone does the shh on this one. Very sweet. And we start with Arya and Ezra. They seem to be like walking somewhere in Europe.
It says 1 year later. So I'm like, what?
Why what?
Wasn't this all 1 year? Like, I'm confused. When was that Mona thing?
No, exactly.
Like, it doesn't. I don't care is 1 year later from that. It doesn't matter to me.
I wonder if that was like Mona in the height of her psychosis before she was like going to be let out.
Oh, maybe. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And they're like, that was a year ago. Maybe that's like come right, so far.
Maybe that's like almost right after.
That's what I'm thinking.
This happened. But guys, it's been long enough for Allie to get bangs.
It's been long enough for Allie to get bangs.
The worst bangs you've ever seen.
For there to be multiple children existing in this universe, for Haleb to be on the rocks, and enough time for Ezra to still not be married. So they're walking around. Like, it looks like they're in Europe. She appears to only be wearing underwear, but she is wearing a romper. But it's like criminally short. Sorry. And I'm even saying that on a Thursday, so that's how you know it's short. And they're talking about, like, everything's great because their book might become a movie. They're finally about to get married. Like, things are great. And this, okay,
they're
I have to say.
They're on a movie set.
Yeah. This is such a bad episode for Ezra. And it sucks that it's the finale because isn't this where you're supposed to, like, really sell me on it? Isn't this where I'm supposed to, like, leave with a good feeling about Ezra? I don't. He puts his foot in his mouth over and over and over again. He has, like, a zillion bad moments, a zillion revealing moments, which we're going to get into, but one of them is here, where Arya's like, oh, my God, like, stop being so sappy because I'm going to ugly cry on the day of our wedding and I'm not going to be able to get through our vows. He looks at her and says, you are an ugly crier. Sorry, pure insanity. What?
I think that they really wanted to make it clear that they were making a nod to, like, Lucy Hale's crying face.
Yeah, no, for sure. Whose crying face is more iconic? Lucy Hale in that one scene where she finds out? Or Phoebe or Kim Kardashian?
It's me.
Kim's is like famously, you know, like really a big one.
But it's not that. I feel like it's just that of her crying like that. But like the thing about, sorry, not to me, McKenna from The Bachelor, Florence Pugh and Lucy Hale.
You get the little frown. I get it.
It's like muscles.
Oh my God. Okay. So now she's bragging about working out.
No. I just mean like, it's like, that's naturally how our muscles go.
Yeah. Right.
That they was just down. Like a really intense.
They naturally frown.
Literally.
Well,
which doesn't happen for everybody.
You should work on that because did you actually know it takes a lot more muscles to frown?
I know, but I don't cry that much.
Yeah. Right.
Whoa.
You called me the other day. Big tears.
That was like once in a blue moon.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Freaking right. Anyway, I get those calls like twice a week. Anyway, I'm like, hang on. Phoebe's calling me. I have to take this.
Ezra says it's the start of the best week ever because our book's about to become a movie and you're about to become my wife.
Which
in that order.
Yeah. And so anyway, already said that. That already happened. And
no,
then
I know, but I just, I that line made me laugh. Like, that's the order he says it in.
Well, yes. And this next line makes me laugh because it's also, again, confirming that, like, he fucking hates Arya. Just kidding. But Z is like, she says, oh my God, like, that's so mean. Why did you say that? And starts walking away. He doesn't take it back. He goes, hey, but I love your ugly crying face. It makes you unique. And she's like, that is not what makes me unique. There are like a million things that make me unique, and that's not one of them.
And you should know that
by
now.
Can you name five? Z, if you want to marry me, name five things that make me unique.
I just said one. I said you're an ugly crier.
And that's a deep cut. That's a deep cut Conal Lore moment. If you got it, you got it. If you didn't, sorry.
Anyway,
psych, they're not in Europe. They're on a movie set.
They make out.
Yeah. I'm also like, okay, now we're a little bit too old to just be making out everywhere like this. You're like at work. You're not in the streets of Europe. If you were in the streets of Europe, I'd be like, okay, carefree, fancy free.
Yeah.
No, you're at work.
Guys,
you're clocked in.
We're here. We're at this romantic rendezvous, and then we're in domestic life because we are at the De Laurentiis dungeon, and it's no longer a dungeon.
This is
it's
giving
a daycare.
Like, you think
De Laurentiis
this is nice?
Daycare.
The De Laurentiis daycare rebrand in the final episode. No, this is that moment where it's like the gym teacher. It's like, if you have sex, you will die. Like, it's like, oh, you think it's all
Emily. That's
you think
literally
it's all
Emily. This whole episode
and making out in the middle of Europe. Okay, well, how about this? Boom, feeding peas to twins. Like that's what it really turns into. Emily is giving a single mom who works two jobs who loves a kid. You know what I mean?
Except she's not a single mom. They're both working.
Yeah, but,
but
Emily is acting as though
that's
she's
what I'm saying,
a single
but no,
mom.
But it's like Allison. Why is it like this? Because Emily also works at the same place you work.
True. And also, but I'm also like, hey, Em, are we putting this on a little bit? Like, because I'm like, oh my God, like I have been working so, and like
she's
Allie's
gonna,
like,
she's
we
gonna
both
come
have been up with like, their two kids, one for each
She's
both.
Gonna come to school with like a little bit of spit up on her, like,
yeah,
on her
yeah,
thing.
And Allie's like, why didn't you, I told you about that before you left this morning. Why didn't you just change your shirt? You wanted everybody to see it? You wanted everybody to know that you're working
it's
really hard?
It's kind of an ick, Em.
Yeah, no, it is. So anyway, they're feeding the little babies Grace and Lily, and they're like, Emerson seems to be doing well, whatever, but Allie's stressed. She has this meeting she has to go to. Well, she lies to Emily, tells her it's a meeting with someone at the school, and then we see her meet Pam Fields at the Radley, and they're making it
suspicious. They give us all these moments, like when Emily leaves with the girls and Allie's getting ready to leave
she's
the
got
house.
Like that
she,
look, like,
she's like,
like she's about to go meet
I'm about to break this girl's heart.
Yeah, like exactly. I'm about to go cheat on her. I'm about to go do something that's like gonna devastate her. Then when she like walks into the Radley, we like don't see you sitting in the chair, and it like pans over the back of the chair, the like high back chair, and it's Pam.
To Pam.
Pans to Pam. Pam, and Pam, you do the Pam.
Anyway,
they sit down, and Pam is like, says she's happy, but her face is a different story. And Allie's like,
she doesn't know I'm here.
Emily is gonna be taken care of. And here's the thing, Pam's like, I just need to know that you're gonna take care of my M. And Allie's like, Pam. Of course I am. Like, why would you ever think I'm not going to? It's like, hey, Allie, you're
lots
the
of reasons.
Last person I'm trusting with my daughter's heart. FYI. My daughter comes home. She's like, Mom, meet my girlfriend. It's Allison De Laurentiis. I'm like,
no,
it's not. And she's like, oh, my God, is it because she's a woman? I'm like, no, it's because it's Allie. It's because it's Allie. And that's what Pam. That's
I'll take
Pam
Maya any
saying.
Day.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Go get my. Also, the Maya callback in this.
Weird.
I can't wait to get there. Couldn't believe it. But yeah, Allie promises she'll always be there for Emily. And I'm just like, you're kind of the last person I believe.
But it's giving, like, is Pam like about to die? Is she terminal?
No, I know. The way they're making this is insane.
Then we go to this farm.
Spencer and Mel. Why is Mel's shirt buttoned to the top button? She looks like she cannot breathe.
Mel's not the slutty sister.
Well, I guess that's true. Or is this Mel wearing a silicone mask, and that's why, because there's something there and she has to have it buttoned all the way up? Like, is this already Mona or someone else?
I never even thought about that.
Because it's also kind of a weird scene. But they do that callback to, like, the barn moment. So, like,
I
maybe not.
I thought it was weird in the sense of I thought maybe Spencer was Alex. But then this isn't one of the things that we get the reveal. And also the horse thing later. Like, right in this moment, it's like Spencer's fine with the horse.
Yeah.
And that's how Toby kind of clocks it later, that like what's
it's
going on
Spencer,
here.
Yeah.
So I do think this is Spencer and Melissa.
I do too. But it's just interesting. Like, why would you make me think this with the buttons?
And they're like, Caroline, I don't think they're right. I think you just
they
somehow
planted
went
this
there.
For me. And they were like, the English major watching this will get it.
Right. And Melissa and Spencer, like, we're just starting to get to know each other again. They make the jokes about the barn. Then we see Toby's truck in the back and Toby looking at it. And we find out it's not Toby's truck at all.
It's not, that is not Toby's truck. That is Spencer's truck. But Toby's looking fully freshman in high school again. He looks like he went back in time.
I feel like we should have kept the beard.
Is it the hair?
I think it's the hair. Maybe it's the dirt on the neck. Like, I don't know.
The outfit, the hair. He's not in a cop uniform.
He looks like he looks dazed. Dazed and confused.
Yeah, he does. Well, he's looking at Spencer. He's in a haze now.
He's in limerence.
Yes. They have this big, passionate hug. And he's been working in Africa. And he wasn't going to be back for the Ezreal wedding. But he finished ahead of schedule.
Sorry, like, kind of crazy that we end up finding out that you're part of, like, the Bachelor, Bachelorette festivities. And you weren't going to be here.
I know. And she's like, so how are you? And he's like, he doesn't want to answer that. And they move on. And she introduces him to Bashful the horse, who is a rescue. And he's really picky, but he does like Spencer. And then miraculously, he likes Toby. And she's like, okay, he's never warmed up to anybody as fast as he wanted to.
She says that very specifically.
Yeah, it's a very, very big moment. And then an extra gets the moment of his life, the acting opportunity of his life. Spencer and Toby are, like, with the horse, and this man just comes and walks directly in front of the camera. Wait, speaking of, did you see, watch what happens when the guy, like, the bartender, like, walked on? Did you see this?
To bring them drinks?
Yeah. Which, like, they're not supposed to do.
Oh.
Like, the bartender isn't supposed to, like, walk on the stage. Like, they stay behind the bar.
Yeah.
And Andy, like, called him out. Like, did you see this?
No, but I watched that episode.
Well, how do you know?
I didn't notice it.
You would have noticed it. But I noticed a bartender every episode.
I know, but I noticed him walk over with the drinks. Was it Mary's episode?
Yeah.
I didn't notice him say anything about it.
Oh, my God. How did you miss this? There were multiple things that Andy says. The first thing is the guy's walking in front of the camera, and Andy's like, whoa, dude, you're right in front of the camera. Dude, you're right. Oh, okay. Oh, you're still coming. Okay. And the guy comes on, and he's like, I've never had this happen before. Whoa. And the bartender, like, gives him the drinks. He's like, okay. First time for everything, like being like a dick about it. And then afterwards he's like, what is this, to the guy, and the guy tells him what it is, and he's like, it's zero proof. And Andy goes,
oh, well, I saw that. Yeah.
And then he goes, come on, Andy. And it was like, it was a little awkward.
I did.
And then
not,
Andy swaps it out for an alcoholic drink and doesn't drink it.
I did not read it that way. I mean, I didn't see the first
people
part
were,
but like
going crazy.
I did not
about
read
it.
the conversation about the zero. I thought it was just like a little bit of banter.
Oh my God! People online were like, "Andy's so rude." Like, this is like such a bad episode. How?
I just didn't.
You must not have seen the whole thing.
My mom and I watched that episode of Watch What Happens twice. Once with mom.
Are you okay then? How did you not see that?
I don't know.
It's like huge. I felt so uncomfortable.
I must have blocked it out.
That's insane.
All right, we are at Rosewood High School.
No, we just have to also say that. She got this truck on eBay.
Spencer, why did we do that?
Why? You missed Toby so bad you bought a replica of his truck on eBay?
I also, like, the way she says it, she's like, I just saw it, couldn't resist. I don't picture you browsing eBay.
I don't see you browsing eBay in, like, the automobile section,
no.
Seeing this and being like, I gotta have it.
I
see you, like, being like, where are the Carfax? Like, let me see.
Like, maybe you, like, see it on, like, a lot of, like, a car shop and you're like, oh, I'll pick it up.
Or you see it in the lot and you're like, the old days. And then you drive away in your Audi. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't, lawyer Spencer Hastings, doubtful.
So we go to paralegal.
Listen up, road warriors. I have got to tell you about this book I just finished, Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher. I truly didn't know a romance starring a demon hero could be so cozy.
Okay, I actually did know that, but it's not a competition. Guys, Guardian Demon is the ultimate forbidden romance novel, but it still keeps it upbeat and fun, and it's giving major star-crossed lovers vibes, which we famously love.
Totally. The grumpy sunshine trope is becoming one of my faves. I could not put this book down. My phone was literally on Do Not Disturb all weekend thanks to this New York Times bestseller.
So if you want to be a well-read hottie like us, then grab your copy of Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher. It's available wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. But the Gorge Deluxe first printing is only available for a limited time. So run, don't walk. Hello, Road Warriors. As you know, I'm one of the great celebrators of Halloween. So when I suggest a spooky and spicy book in October, you gotta listen. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue.
We're both reading it.
Place bets on who will finish first.
And I can't believe how perfectly it ties into our girls. It's giving gothic horror, but with insane romance. So all you Arias out there are gonna love it.
And it's also super spicy and romantic and spooky. So even if you're not an Aria, you're pretty much going to freaking love it.
We just started reading it and Caroline texted me at 3 a.m. last night telling me she literally couldn't put it down.
And I am dying to know Phoebe's thoughts because it's her first spicy book and I think she's going to be hooked. Phoebe, do you want to read the synopsis?
Yeah. Gothic, sapphic romance meets supernatural suspense on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest. As a night of forbidden passion opens a Pandora's box of dangerous secrets and dark magic in this sinfully spicy standalone novel by New York Times bestselling TikTok sensation, Harley LaRue.
Sheesh. Obviously, we want you guys to read along with us, so you can get a copy of House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold in print and ebook.
And if you want to match us and get the gorgeous deluxe hardcover edition, it is available only for a limited time. So go grab yours before they're gone. Rosewood High School, Allie's teaching. She says a happy ending depends on where you stop your story.
Here's what's on the chalkboard. It says, this is kind of hilarious to me. It says, there are no happy endings. Endings are the saddest part. So just give me a happy middle and a very happy start. Shel Silverstein.
Shel Silverstein.
Where the sidewalk ends. Why do we have a Shel Silverstein quote on the board? Because I was like, oh, maybe that's what they're reading. No, they're reading Ezria's book.
Which I'm also like, sorry, that's not making it into the classroom.
And sorry, I want to know how that happened. I need to know how that happened. Aria was like, if you were supportive, like you would,
it would be in the curriculum.
Z was like, this would be the first thing on my syllabus. So I don't know why. Like, and he was really,
like, if I was still
Allie,
teaching,
you're new to teaching. But
if
like,
I was still, if I was still in that room, you know, that's my classroom
thing. And like, we actually kind of came up with a lesson plan for you. And we're just thinking like, you kind of owe us, you kind of owe me. So if you could just, I mean, you know, that was like a, and you're going to be reading my book, right? Like in class and everyone's going to be reading it.
They say, we'll send you signed copies, but then they get the invoice and like they did charge them for the signed.
An extra fee for the autograph.
They make it seem like it's like, oh, we'll give
we went
you
through a lot
copies.
Of pens also. We went through a lot of pens. Our signatures
also,
are
we're gonna
very
expense
long.
Those.
Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind just picking up the bill for those as well. And it's also like, okay, cute. We're in here, we're talking about happy endings, and it's obviously like kind of a metaphor for the show.
It's not cute for long.
And there's this kid who's like, well, you know, it's kind of like when you finish a book, but you don't want it to end. Even though the characters are happy, you're still sad that it has to end. And it's like, okay, we get it. Little
like,
heavy handed.
They're like nursing the high schoolers to be like, and this show's over.
And we know you guys are sad, but the characters are happy. So let it go.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. And then we have, sorry, mega bitch Addison raising her hand. Well, your friend's the reason it's not a happy ending.
Which, like, we're calling her a mega bitch, but kind of something we've probably said.
Kind of something. Well, yeah. She stole Ezra from Nicole. They were hooking up, turning around and spreading this lore in the class is bonkers, honestly. Insane. And then Addison calls Allie lesbo. What?
I am this like...
lesbo.
What?
I mean, that feels like a season one insult
I'm also
we're getting from, like, Mona.
Hey, Addison... Don't cross her.
Hey, Addison, it's like you aren't familiar with the lore. And I know you are because of what you're going to say next.
Oh my gosh. She's leaving the classroom. Allie grabs her.
What did you say? I see you.
And she goes, you may think. Wait, say
you,
it.
Well, hang on. No, because you just like, it. You just skimmed past the grabbing her moment. Like, I'm sorry. Allie, you cannot grab her upper arm this way.
Enough that she says, careful, Allie.
You might leave,
might
a,
leave
bruise.
A bruise.
Like, literally, the girl's, like, walking down a class, and Allie's, like, like, grabs
also, like, there's
her.
Still people, like, around.
Allie's bonk. Allie's crazy.
Say
Allie's
her line.
Wild
say
out.
Her line. And
Allie goes,
and
you may think you're winning the battle, but I'll win the war. Is that okay? That was kind of bad.
And it was good. And
careful, Allie. You don't want to leave a bruise. I could bury you with that. But then again, it wouldn't be the first time someone buried you. And this is when I wanted Allie to say, honey, I rose up from the dead at grave. I do it all the time.
I'm a little bit like, Allie, you should have beaten her to saying wouldn't be the first time, because that would kind of eat it as the person
eat.
Who was buried alive.
Exactly. To be like, and I'm still here, bitch.
It wouldn't
like,
be the first time. The first and time. I made it out.
Yeah. Even if she just said, yeah. But also, I'm like, what was I just gonna say? I wanted Allie to hit her. I was like, it would.
The grabbing of the arm was a little much for Caroline, but she's in full support an open-handed slap
would totally work for me.
I mean, she's done it before once to Mona.
Well, exactly. But we needed to save it for
Mona. She drew blood.
Yeah, exactly. No, I just was like, it feels like such an Allie. Like, if this wasn't a student, Allie's hitting her.
Fair.
For sure. But I'm also like, okay, so Addison, you know the whole lore and you're still doing this and challenging her. And then Allie goes, it's Ms. De Laurentiis.
And then when Addison leaves, she goes, but not for long.
But wait, why?
She's literally about to get engaged.
Oh, Allie. Yeah. She's like, it's Ms. because it's ambiguous because I have two kids with somebody.
But I am unmarried.
And you just told me I'm a lesbo, so. Okay. Maybe I am, Addison. Oh my God, that was crazy.
Let me go to the hallway.
Oh, I did write. I literally wrote my notes. Imagine if Allie slapped her.
I do have to say, and this is like classic Emily. Sometimes Emily just shows up and I'm like, Emily, you do have a knack for like making situations more awkward.
Oh my God.
Because like this lesbo conversation happens and then Emily like walks up and she's like, Allie, how are you?
Allie, hey, how was your meeting? Like, Emily, who cares? Sorry, but Allie, you both work here. Like, I'm just like, did you seek her out to ask her how this fucking meeting went? Allie, how was your meeting? Like, it's not, who fucking cares? So Allie has to lie to her. And then we see,
oh my God,
Mrs. Braun,
Sydney Sweeney.
Willa is her character name. She's giving, sorry, Leslie Stone.
Well, we've always said that.
I know. But she, like, really is.
But it
really
is just funny that
the
she, red
hair,
with the
glasses. I'm like, what?
Does she have red hair?
I feel like her hair's red.
Maybe well, I think you're wrong. Just picturing Leslie Stone.
Oh, maybe. But it's at least strawberry blonde.
It's.
So there's like this big group of girls in the hall with Addison.
One might say a group of five.
A group of five even. And they're looking at this other girl. One might say a loser. And they're laughing at her. And the girl opens her locker and there is a fucking doll stabbed in the heart. And you know what it reminds me of, Phoebe? I'm going to say it again. Reminds me of that fucking girl, Gabriella. Gave me a doll with the eyes blacked out,
of course,
and said the I promise I'm not a bitch award.
Crazy.
Don't be giving people creepy dolls. Okay, that's like, hey, rule of thumb, just like, don't be giving people creepy dolls.
And Caroline's now the resident creepy doll expert.
I'm literally the expert on creepy dolls. Scrunchy.
What I was gonna say is that this is so sad because it's sad for many reasons, but the doll literally has hearing aids.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, I didn't notice that. Yes, this girl has hearing aids. And it's also like, I'm like, is this supposed to kind of be a parallel to like Jenna? Like,
I think a little bit, because that Jenna kind of intervenes in a second. But
here's
this is
my question about Jenna. Why are you here? What's your relationship to these girls? I was like, watch Addison be like her daughter. not old enough, but like that's the vibe. Because it's so bizarre. So the girl opens her locker. Emily like goes over and is
this
like,
is another instance of I'm like, Emily.
Yeah.
Kind of let kids be kids.
Just kind of stay out of this.
You already have beef with Addison.
She didn't even see the doll. She just saw the girl's reaction. Yeah, believe me, you have more beef than you realize with Addison, because your wife got involved. So,
yeah, imagine Addison is able to convince Hackett that, like, not only was Emily doing the shit that Addison said she was, but also her wife, her future wife, just grabbed me and left a bruise on my arm.
No, I'm like, it wouldn't be hard for anybody to believe that.
Literally.
Because Allie is who she is. It's like, I can't even believe she has a job at the school. So anyway, not even just because she's like a monster, but like how distracting.
Yes.
If I'm in her class, I'm not getting anything
done. Okay, I'm
done.
Like, okay, we're hiring Allison De Laurentiis, Emily Fields, and Jenna Marshall.
Like, are we okay? Have we lost our minds? Are we out of our gourd? So they are looking over at the big throng of girls and Allie goes, is it Addison? And I do think it's kind of hilarious. Like, I know that Addison is the mean girl, but there are five girls over there and we didn't see this doll we put in the locker. And she looks over and it's like, it was Addison, wasn't it? Like, she just like goes straight for it. And then we hear the click clack of Jenna Marshall and she tells Addison to get to class. And Addison is like such a little bitch back. And
some of us can see and hear. And okay, I have to give it to her. The way that Tamin Sursok says, so go.
I know, yeah.
She kind of killed in the scene.
She did. Especially when, because then Addie's like, okay. And then she looks at her friends and she's like, shh. And she starts waving her hands silently in front of Jenna's face.
Hey, Addison, she can hear. So when you go, shh.
She can hear that.
She can fucking hear you.
And also, she can probably see too. Okay? Because she lies about being blind all the time.
All
so,
the time.
So actually, I wouldn't know
as much as you think.
Just because she says she's blind and has a walking stick, it doesn't mean she is. Okay? And Addie starts putting her hand in front of Jenna's face. Jenna grabs it. It's giving the moment where she like hit the fly mm-hmm. or like puts on the red lipstick. Yeah. And it's like, bitch, you can see. Yeah, exactly. And she grabs Addie's hand and scares the shit out of Addison.
I'm obviously not an Addison defender, but this is the second teacher who was laid hands on her in this episode.
And by the way, not the teacher that she said laid hands on her. Either.
Exactly.
and then Jenna goes, I may not be able to see, but I can smell a bitch from a mile away. What is the relationship here? I don't think you can say bitch to her.
I don't think you can put your hands on her.
I don't think you can say bitch to her.
Well, apparently she walks away and Allison goes, because she passes Allison.
You used to be the mean girl.
And then Allie says, I'm sure she makes a kick-ass life skills teacher, but she still creeps me out. I'm like, Allie, I think a core tenet of why she creeps you out is because you blinded her.
Yeah, it's because she makes you nervous because she knows a lot about you. But I do also think, Allie, that you could be also creeped out by her because she like did stalk and torture you. Like she was 100% part of the A team for like, right. a while and like right. doing crazy shit. So it's okay if she creeps you out. Again, do we do background checks on literally anybody? I don't know. So we go to the loft. Caleb Lucas and Hannah are arguing about Mona because Hannah has been showing up for Mona, visiting her, and now she's invited Mona to come live with them until she finishes therapy, which I just want to say, hey, you never finish therapy if your name is Mona Vanderwaal. Okay. There is no end date to therapy. But Mona's on her way up, and we learn that like Caleb sold a software to Lucas. Hannah's design
this
is doing well.
They love giving Caleb these lines. This happened the last 5-year jump. Or like the scene when Hannah got her thing in the magazine and then it was the Runway Rebel or whatever.
Yeah.
They love giving Caleb these lines where he's like, Hannah, we've been doing so well.
I know.
You, and he's like, okay, let me get the list of things that will catch the audience, audience up. You've sold your designs. I sold my software to Lucas. We bought the loft.
And now you want to invite a crazy person to come live here? It's like, none of this really has anything to do with that, but okay. But it is like, Hannah, you didn't even talk to him about it. You just
invited
her. Well,
and it's like he says, he's a passenger in this marriage.
Well, and I have to say, Caleb, you're being a little bit of like bitch boy.
A little, especially when but it's classic, man.
It is.
When he's sitting on the couch later.
Oh,
and he like, won't go to bed.
I know.
And he has the TV loud so that it's like Hannah has to come out.
Hannah has to be like, what are you watching? And he's like, I don't know. I got a lot on my mind. I'm not even looking. So anyway, he's so pissed. He won't even say hi to Mona. He leaves the room. Mona gets up there. There's like a hug between her and Hannah. And we learn that Arya's bachelorette / Ezra's bachelor party are tonight. So Mona's going to be on her own. But Hannah trusts her. And apparently Mona's like on a bunch of meds and she's not as sharp as she used to be.
Just put me in front of the game channel and I'm all good to go.
I'm sorry. Mona sitting in front of the all day game channel is me training for Big Brother.
that's
how she got good at everything.
Guys, I'm going to start like downloading and printing like a fifth grader's homework so Caroline can practice reading directions.
Please. No, I'm not kidding. Do it. All right, so we're at Lost Woods, but it's looking a little diff. Spencer mm-hmm. has renovated it. She allegedly researched all the great camps in the Adirondacks to renovate the place.
Right, and the boys
It doesn't look that good.
I mean, Caroline, compared to
I'm
how
not
it
gonna
looked,
lie, like I think it looks kind of bad.
Compared
actually.
To how it looks,
the
looked,
paint colors are weird, and like I'm just like,
but it's so that time when people were like, we're gonna be eclectic and kooky.
Is it eclectic and kooky though? I don't feel like it's
Spencer.
Giving
it's Spencer's version of eclectic and kooky.
Well, Spencer needs to go to design school because she needs to go to the design school of eclectic and kookiness because this is not it.
She's still trapped in her Nancy Myers.
But this isn't even.
But what I'm saying is like she can't break away from that, so she can't quite get eclectic and kooky correct.
I guess. Like, I don't know. Whatever.
Anyway, they go outside. They've made this cute little thing in the backyard. The boys are like, I thought we were having a kegger.
Yeah. Okay. Second time Ezra puts his foot in his mouth because he's like, wait, I thought we were having a kegger. He comes out. They've set up like this gorgeous mm-hmm. like dinner outside where like they're like, we're bringing Provence to you. And he's like, I thought we were having a kegger. Hey, shut up. Hey, you're like 50, dude. Why would you want to go to a kegger? I'm like, oh my God.
And that's that. Then we go to Lucas's loft. Guys, Mona's freaking gone, but the game channel's on.
Oh, she is nowhere to be found.
Back to Lostwood Resort. Ezra is not nervous. And he's like, why should I be? And Emily's like, let me tell you.
Yeah, let me tell you how hard it is to be married. I have kids. Just wait till you introduce kids into the picture. You're gonna be miserable, like me. and Hannah and Caleb are like, so true. Marriage sucks. Like they're like, we're having a really hard time. Marriage kind of blows.
And Spencer's like, I knew it, girls. I said we should stay in our slut era this summer.
I said we should just be slutty for sluts for life, slutty sisters.
Ezra's more excited for the honeymoon. And then they're all like, oh,
moment where I'm like, hey, Ezra.
And then he goes, not for that. Well, but also there is that. And I'm like, okay, but you guys have been fucking since she was underage. Yes. So like,
So like, is it still exciting? Are you still excited?
And you're about to fuck tonight.
Yeah, no, exactly. And oh my God. So then we hear screaming, which I don't even know if we ever come back to.
And Emily does a Pam thing. She puts her finger or two fingers to her temple. She's and she's like, oh, Christians.
Man. She's yeah, they say noisy Christians. There's like a Bible camp across the way. And Arya's face, she's like, well, then why the fuck are we doing this here? You guys didn't think about that? Like, she literally makes Arya's a face like, okay, like, thanks so much for hosting this where I have to listen to noisy Christians. God.
You know that I don't like organized religion. I know I'm getting married in a church, but you guys still
you guys
know how I feel.
I'm an atheist. And Ezra's like, wait, babe, I thought we were saying you're agnostic. It's a little softer. She's like, babe, I'm not changing for you. So anywho.
It's a little softer.
So Ezra planned the whole honeymoon because Arya planned the whole wedding. And all Arya knows is you're going to the south of France. And she says, he's promised me a surprise for every year we've known each other. And I'm like, and who put him up to that? I feel like that was Arya like, and Ezra, are you going to get me a surprise for every year we've known each other? You know what I mean? Like,
she's convinced Ezra that that's just that's what like people do on their honeymoon.
Weddings. Like, and Ezra, are you going to give me a surprise for every year we've known each other? What? Do I have to do that? So then Hannah goes, wow, that's so romantic. We didn't go on a honeymoon. And I'm like, Caleb, at ease. Stop it. You guys are okay. Stop.
Not in front of everybody, please.
Not in front of everyone. Oh my God. So now we're all sitting around a fire. Fast forward. Things got a little tense when Ella and Mrs. Fitzgerald started talking about the seating chart and like they're not getting along or whatever. I wish they would all get remotely comfortable, mostly Allie, because Allie, between the like starched wig we've got on her head and the blazer, she looks like she has a posture belt on. Sorry, like, what is going on here? And then she and Emily are like, you know what? Me horny. And they get up and leave to go have sex. And they basically just do exactly
what
I just did.
Wait, but before this, they're all at the bonfire. Ezra's telling a story. And then Spencer gets up because she sees that Caleb's kind of being awkward. And she goes, yeah. Hey, Han, do you need a drink? And Hannah's like, no.
This is the one time Hannah's like, kind of a bitch.
Oh, wait. I was thinking of a different
moment. I might have it as a different part. I don't know if this is the official
but
one.
I did think that I was like, Hannah, she's clearly like, come up here and talk to me.
Yeah, like, Hannah, just go. Like, what is this all about? She's like, how many people does it take to make a mojito?
Now everybody's in tune to what's happening.
And
here.
What's also weird is that Spencer's like nice about it.
Spencer goes, two.
No, Spencer goes, two. Like with a smile. And I was like, that's so unlike you. Is this Spencer?
By the way,
that's how I started referring to
them. Is this Spencer or Spencer?
That's how I started typing it. I said, this is not Spencer, this is Spencer. And I put a capital A. Okay, so anyway.
Anna tells Spencer about Mona, and Hannah's like, I made her play the game, like it's my fault. And Spencer's like, you can't be looking back. And I don't like want to take Caleb's side. And Hannah goes, then don't.
Then you really shouldn't be. Okay. So
and then Emerson's like, sorry, we only have so much time. Yes. So we're going to go fuck.
And then Ezra's like, you know what?
Us too.
Ditto. And Arya has the most Arya shit getting up. She goes,
I think it's time for bed.
We're going to go to bed too. And then she like scratches her hair and is like, yeah. And then Hannah and Caleb also leave. Like Hannah gets a beep on her phone. And Toby and Spencer are left at the fire and they're sitting there and Toby's like, you tired? And they have this whole thing. And then Spencer goes, you want to take me back to your room?
Wow.
Holy moly. It was awesome though. And
the way
like,
she said it, some of these Spencer like fuck me lines are like,
I know, but I was
really
like,
well
and
done.
They're not going to fuck. But I guess I kind of like that they didn't yet. They go back and they play Scrabble.
Sweet.
It's very cute. And
okay. So she tells, she's talking about Vivi and Melissa and all this stuff. And then she puts down like this random ass
Q-A-T,
word which I am
A-T, which is now in my Scrabble
absolutely,
notebook
absolutely
as a three word that starts with a Q and he doesn't believe it's a real word
and
she's
he says
like, it's tobacco
he
leaves.
Says in a cute way he's like still studying the dictionary for fun I see.
Yeah and it's cute and then we get this montage of everyone having sex
and guys in Ezra's scene we finally have the callback that I've been waiting for.
We get the classic Arya bedsheet moment which still sends a chill down my spine. Still makes me feel shocked to my core. Emerson's hooking up and they stop so that Allie can remind Emily that I'm here for you.
You
and
always have family.
Yeah. Emily's like, hey, I'm trying to like create a vibe here. Can you stop? I'm trying to, never mind.
Right.
She's like, I'm trying to create a vibe here, and it's definitely not sweet.
And then we have an awesome jump cut to Hannah with her legs on the wall.
Okay. So first thing I want to say is that I wasn't getting the vibe that Caleb was going to be fucking tonight. So that's the first thing I'm saying. Number two, Caleb, you couldn't wait till she's not trying to get pregnant to start screaming at her. Oh my god, Caleb!
I keep referring to Caleb as Caleb, which is indicative of their whole situation.
He probably would like it.
That's how he feels.
He doesn't like it right now, but also like he does.
But you're scaring her ovaries. Literally,
she's gonna let you know that she will. She's laying in bed with her legs up because they just did it, and now she's trying to get pregnant. And by the way, this is apparently how you try. No. Well, I don't think so. I don't know.
Anyway. I understand like the thought process of it, but I am like, is that scientifically how that would work?
I don't actually know. But she's laying with her legs above her head, and while Caleb just berates her, he's like, okay, you know what?
We find out that this is actually just a turn on.
No, literally. She's like, oh my god. He's like, Hannah, I'm a passenger in our marriage. Sylvia Plath is our new roommate, which I did think was a killer line. I loved that one. But he's just like being kind of crazy, and it's like pissing me off.
It's a little much.
Yeah.
Then we get to Ezria. They're sleeping, and Arya gets a call, and she goes out to the lobby, and we see Melissa watching through the window. Then, of course, it wouldn't be the last episode of Pretty Little Liars if we didn't get a pink song.
Get a little pink. Get a little glitter in the air.
Have you ever
lover with just your hands?
And Toby,
trusted.
Toby's asleep, I just think there is something. This is part of like what I love about Spoby is that we get the like. I don't know. I just love this scene where he's like sitting there sleeping, and they're just like. I don't know. They're soulmates, you guys.
It's sweet. Like he's laying there sleeping. She kind of looks at him, and it's like this moment where it's like, I think in her mind they were going to do it, and like they're obviously not going to do it because he's asleep.
And this is like kind of better.
Maybe this is better. And then she goes over and like the Scrabble board's still there, and she puts another word down on it. And then like,
hey,
that's
Spence,
the last we see of it.
When I find out what that word is, I'm a little bit like, there's no way you didn't have to dig in the pouch for those letters.
No, I agree. I'm like,
you just had them. You didn't just have those letters.
You just had them. We'll get to what the word is. So then she walks into like the lobby of the Lost Woods Resort, and Arya is sobbing.
I'm like, Arya, I'm sorry. It wouldn't be the finale if we didn't just like kind of roast you. Like, I know you're being loud.
No, I know you're being loud. I know you're boo-hooing.
And you were in the central part of the motel.
She's out there alone. Like doing the full like,
the ugly cry.
Yeah, doing the full ugly cry.
And Ezra's like, I'm not fucking going
out
there.
Ezra's like, hey, I told you.
That's going to be a turn off.
Ezra's like, oh, sorry. Ezra walks out and he's like, oh, sorry, I did not know you were crying. Excuse me, babe. I love you, but I cannot look.
And she's like, I can't marry Ezra. And
I
it's like,
do it.
Listen, I know that this is a serious situation for Arya. I totally get it. And I understand why she feels this way, but I do have to make fun of her. Of course, it's our job.
Of course, it's literally
and
our job.
I just like, this was always going to happen the night before Arya Montgomery's wedding.
You know, she was always going to get a call in the middle of the night from like a medical professional, which typically would happen during business hours.
Not even the medical professional, but I mean more so like,
well, and then
even
like
without
this.
The infertility, which we find out about, she was going to have a moment to herself sobbing where she was going to be like, I can't.
She was
going
to have a moment to herself for two seconds before everyone else is summoned in. Like, that's the other thing. It's like maybe she's telling everybody, she's branding this as a moment to herself, but all she wants is for a crowd of people in there.
And by the way, Melissa's watching this whole thing, and then everybody comes in. And they're like, look, Arya, you have to tell Z before the wedding. And she's like, why?
She's like, I can't tell him and I can't marry him. So I guess I'll just kill myself. Like, she's just completely. But I am like, I'm sorry. It's so funny to me that they thought the only time they could do this, have her find out she's infertile, is in the middle of the night.
Before her wedding.
What?
In a parallel universe. In parallel universe. She runs away to the Christian camp next door and becomes a counselor and owns the camp.
And she's like, maybe I am agnostic. She's like, I'm not an atheist. Maybe I'm agnostic now. And they're like, you can't be agnostic and be here. And she's like, I can do whatever I fucking want.
That's not what Jesus says.
I'm infertile. Okay. Just how about lay off?
What about an immaculate conception?
Yeah.
We never know.
Ooh, and that's why she finds God.
Yes.
She's like, it's my only chance. She forgot about adoption and surrogacy.
There's only being the Virgin Mary, and she would be the Virgin Aria.
Because it would make her special. And she's like, well, how do I reverse all the banging I've been doing? Anyway, so then we go out and we see that Mel is, as she's walking through the woods, She takes off the silicone mask. It's Mona. And here's the deal. I can't even be mad. I can't be mad at Mona for doing this. Like, okay.
She's sick in the head.
She's sick in the head. I'm going to be mad at her. No, I don't think so. She needs a friend. Okay.
Exactly.
I'll be that friend.
And AD is being that friend for her.
I'm like, look, I get it. Okay. If you guys took Aria back after this, you're not going to take Mona back.
And
it's
hey,
insane.
Guys, were we really thinking we were going to get through the finale without another deep fake?
I mean, I guess not.
And with the same fucking voice, it still sounds like Sydney, by the way.
Yes, it does. And it's a Mona deepfake, and it's basically the exact same thing that was happening with Aria and AD, where she's like, tell me who you are, and they're like, I can't trust
and
you
it's
yet.
Actually,
I'm testing you.
It like makes me so sad because Mona is having that like, but you told me that you'd tell me who you were if I did this thing. And she doesn't understand why AD, because she tells AD about Aria's infertility.
Yeah.
And
she's like, let's go use this now. Like, it's
and
the perfect
AD's
time.
She's like,
about
it's
to get
not,
married.
And little do we know, AD's like, hey, Mona, like, you're a tool right now. Yeah. I'm just trying to get in the friend group.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, Mona, you're kind of just like, I kind of just got stuck with you. I'm like, I need to give you a job. So I'm like, put on this mask of Mel Mel and walk around the woods. Like,
and
I don't know.
And I know you're capable of hitting Spencer over the head and knocking her out perfectly so that she does still wake up.
Yeah, you know the exact angle. You've done it before. Anyway, so it's the next morning. Aria's cleaning up and she knocks over the wine. She's like having an upset moment. And Emily's sad song starts playing. Which
no, I literally said... Why I From resent them using this song for Ezria. Like, that's
no,
not
know.
Their song.
It's not their song. It has nothing to do with them.
They have a theme song. It's,
right.
It doesn't have words.
But.
Yeah.
That one.
Oh, wait, that one too. They should have used that one. That's
I know,
the song
that
plays
been
when
perfect.
She's Eponine.
That would have been perfect.
When she's Eponine in the rain.
And now I'm all alone again. Exactly. So she's crying on the floor. Ezra comes over and she's like, I thought I was pregnant, and his face like lights up. And then
oh,
she's
like honestly, like the
I can't have kids.
That is, I actually thought this was a really good scene for them. Low-key.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Because it is like we needed that moment of to understand Arya's feelings. We needed to see how much Ezra wanted kids.
Yeah.
And like his own kids and to be excited to have kids with her.
Right.
And but then he does have a good and he hugs her and he like is. Understanding for the most
he
part.
Hugs her, so like everything's fine. Like he's gonna marry her. He's the person that's supposed to love her more than anyone in the world right now, and he hugs her and like that's fine.
Lucas is loft.
They come home. Caleb and Canna.
Instead of Caleb, it's Canna. Which by the way, I referred to Mona and Hannah as Mana in my notes today.
I love our shorthand. We're selling our notes one day. Okay, so Hannah and Caleb come home. Mona is gone. And Caleb's like, that's it. 911. I'm calling the fucking cops. I'm not doing this. And then Mona comes out.
911, what's your emergency? Sylvia Plath is missing.
And they're like, Sylvia Plath is dead. They're like, you thought so. No, you thought. But you thought.
This girl's worse.
We're at the jail. Mary Drake is being visited by somebody.
Do we think this is Spencer or Spencer?
No, I think this is Spencer. Because Mary looks at her and goes, I've missed you, sweetheart. And the way that they both, they put their hands underneath the table, and it's because no touching, but they put their hands underneath and started holding hands and like almost like put their foreheads against
each
other. I'm like,
hey, cops clocked that.
There are cameras everywhere. And also like,
you guys are now like halfway under the table. Actually, just your heads are above the table because you're having to reach so far to reach each other's hands.
This is supposed to show like that they're both so unwell, but they like are each other's like mad.
Yeah, well, like mother, like daughter.
Well, exactly. And like they just, it's a really crazy moment.
When we find out how Alex got here, I'm like, if Ren hadn't walked in that bar.
No, I know.
She would probably be relatively normal.
Well,
I mean, she'd still be fucked up.
Well, yeah, but she wouldn't be doing anything to these girls.
Exactly.
For sure. So, anyway, we're still at the jail, and Mary's talking about how much prison sucks, and she can't lose hope. And she says to Spencer, you can say it, hope breeds eternal misery. And she goes, that was the old Spencer. And I'm like, yeah, I'm Spencer. No, the old Spencer would have said that. I'm Spencer. Boo. Hello, mother.
I'm practicing for later.
Hello, mother.
She's literally giving, and this is a callback for us, Tiny Tim Cratchit,
of course.
How do I refer to him?
Tiny Tim Cratchit.
Right. We go to the party. Halo brought Mona, which this was the moment I was talking about.
Oh yeah, no, this is crazy.
Where Aria comes up and she's like, why would you bring her to my
Mona?
Rehearsal?
And Hannah's like, well, what else was I gonna do?
I have to sympathize with Aria here because number one, she found out she's infertile.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I mean, Ezria's in-laws, like, honestly, for both of them, but yeah. Ezra's insufferable enough that I don't feel bad that Byron and Ella are his in-laws. For Aria, I am like, Mrs. Fitzgerald is everyone's worst nightmare.
Hell on earth. And so, especially for the Montgomery family. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine two more incompatible families.
So it's just like for this whole, and knowing that like Arya's like, I literally am the student who is marrying her son who was a teacher. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a really stressful night for me and a stressful weekend. And you had to bring this girl. But on the other side, I am a little bit like, but Mona wasn't AD. Arya, you were.
Nope, that's a great point. It's like
Mona actually ended the game.
If I were
for you,
Arya, I would be real careful with how I'm proceeding about this.
I'm like, Mona's sick in the head, but she's not.
She
wasn't torturing y'all.
And the other thing I'm going to say,
She did it this time. Yeah, but things were fine.
But things are fine now. I feel like also, even if we take all of that stuff out about the family, about the history, like, as it is, you shouldn't be just bringing another plus one to somebody's rehearsal dinner.
Totally.
And like, a wedding is stressful enough, even if your in-laws are perfect, even if like everything goes right, even if you didn't just find out you're infertile, even if like your previous stalker and torturer hasn't shown up, like, it's already stressful. So it's already like, and Hannah, I don't believe that you don't know that, mm-hmm. but okay. So they bring Mona and Hannah's, or this, Arya's obviously
this line,
pissed.
They're like, Hannah, the last time we saw Mona, she almost pushed you out of a bell tower. And Hannah goes, she feels bad about it.
Oh my God. Like, she feels bad. She told me she feels
bad.
No
one gets second chances around here?
Oh my God. Arya.
All right, we gave you a second chance.
No one gets second chances around here?
Who are you walking down
the
aisle to?
You're marrying Ezra. Chickpeas? Ring any bells? Yeah, I thought so. So then they're, Caleb, like, exchanges this knowing glance with Ashley Marin, because Ashley's like, also like, why the fuck is Mona here? And Caleb's like, why don't we go to get a drink? And Mona's like, I'm not allowed to drink, but I can have a cocktail wiener. I thought she said a cocktail waiter, and I was like, well, that's the most Mona line I've ever heard. And that would have honestly been preferable, because later in a couple minutes we see Ezra's mom and Ella like fighting over the fact that there are cocktail wieners at this rehearsal dinner. And what I want to say to that is, yeah, no, I'm also curious about that, because isn't this a vegetarian rehearsal dinner?
Yeah, but they're also, I think the key is that they're not cocktail wieners. They're called something else, and everybody's been referring to them as cocktail wieners.
Ew.
And Mrs. Fitzgerald is like, I would literally never
do that.
Like,
Stop spreading misinformation.
This is my rehearsal dinner and I would have cocktail wieners here?
You're insane.
These are whatever French name this is.
But also still, why is there meat here?
Exactly. Good point.
Why is there anything that could be mistaken for a cocktail wiener?
And then later, Arya finds a waiter and she goes, can I get a cheeseburger?
Can I get a cheeseburger? God. Oh my God. You guys are acting like I'm not the guest of honor.
It was literally my one request. Yeah. Arya does give that, like, it's her wedding weekend, so you better, like, if she wants a cheeseburger, you're going to McDonald's to get her one.
Arya, wait.
And it's like, it doesn't matter what the predetermined menu was. She's like, yeah, but it's my weekend. I don't care that they don't have it.
No, completely. And also, like, Arya gets the cheeseburger and she bites it. She's like, oh my, ugh, what is this? And they're like, it's a Beyond Burger. It's an Impossible Burger. I thought you were a vegetarian. She's like, I want the real thing. And she's like disgusted because she has never actually had one of these burgers before.
I got a free pass
because
for this weekend.
Because
it's my weekend.
Yeah,
I get
exactly.
a free pass for a real burger.
And Anna's like, God, every weekend is her weekend. She has a burger every weekend. Anyway, so Ashley starts to confront Hannah about Mona, and then Allie comes in. Are you nuts? And completely overtakes it. And Ashley goes, I'll let you take over from here, which is like such a great little moment.
Because now Allie can like give her user powers for good.
Yes.
And the moms are like, she's got it.
The moms are like, you know what? Maybe I overestimated her. Arya is also like going full goth for this rehearsal dinner makeup. She's got like thick ass eyeliner. And yeah, so that's that whole thing.
Then Spencer gets there. I wrote, Spencer can fake it.
Well, yes, because Hannah's like, can you guys just fake it for one night? And Spencer says, I can do that, girl. We know.
You think it was her?
Yes. I think this is Alex Drake.
Wow. Guys, I like get so confused. I'm like, I don't know. It could be anyone. Then Z brings Byron a really nice scotch that he set aside for them. And he's like, hey, I know it's the rehearsal dinner. And I know the wedding is tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Oh, my God.
But I never asked for your blessing.
Again, and bad episode for Ezra.
In classic Montgomery parenting fashion, he goes, you know, I know you never asked for my blessing.
I wrote the whole thing down.
Oh, perfect.
Can I read it?
Yeah.
Because it really is just like, this is the most Ezra Byron exchange we could have ever.
This is why it works.
Up.
This is why I feel worse for Arya in the in-law situation.
Byron goes, Ezra says, I never really felt like you and Ella truly accepted me. And Byron goes, well, you never really worked to prove us wrong. You never made a persuasive argument about why we should feel good about you as a son-in-law. I guess that's why we do feel good about it. Instead of making us happy, you focused on making Arya happy. And she is. So yeah, you have my blessing. And you've had it for a while now. Just don't screw it up.
Just don't screw it up, punk. Like,
I'm sorry, but the fact that Ezra's never tried to persuade you that he's a good son-in-law, never tried to change your mind about him, is crazy.
He literally needed to.
And like, don't tell me that's why you do feel good about him. That is the opposite of what Chris Connell would say, just saying.
Sorry, this is an absolute...
I mean, Chris Connell wouldn't be having this conversation because he wouldn't be at a rehearsal dinner if he hadn't asked for my hand in marriage. Literally. But anyway.
This is a complete sidetrack, but Spencer writing the word on the Scrabble board is giving Benito Skinner... This chick woke up in my house. And that's her about Toby.
That is her about Toby. And I'm glad that you've been stewing on that for the past 20 minutes.
It literally just came to me.
Okay, so Ashley and Vivi walk up to...
Well, Ella and Mrs. Fitzgerald are talking about the cocktail wieners. Yes, and then the moms are like, hey, can we get our girl back? Because, oh, no. Ella Fitzgerald walks away in like kind of a fuss. And then
Ella Fitzgerald?
Well, sorry, it's a little confusing.
What is her name?
I don't know her first name.
In my mind, it's like Jacqueline. Jackie.
No, there's already a Jackie.
Oh, there's already a Jackie Molina. Where is she? Wait, did they invite her?
Why wasn't she at the rehearsal dinner? She's officiating. Okay. We haven't gotten there yet.
She's officiating and she's singing the first dance.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Of course, I just made eye contact with Chuck.
Yeah, I got Chuck. With my dog.
We literally just...
Oh.
He's still looking at me.
He's a special guy.
Holly Marie Combs is like, she is like, this is my comedic moment.
Yes.
She walks up to the bar and she goes, oh my God, can I get a massive glass of Pinot Grigio? And you can just leave the bottle right there. The way she said everything, I'm like, why are you talking like that? And then the girls come up and they're the girlies and they're
the mommies.
They're like,
mamacitas.
And then they start like talking about all their mothers-in-law. And this is, I didn't really like how this painted Ashley, because I'm like, if anybody does this, it's Vivi. Because Vivi's like, oh, I know all about like snobby in-laws. Peter's mom eats pizza with a knife and fork. And Ella makes this face and Ashley goes, I do that. And then Ella and Vivi keep having this conversation.
Well, Ella makes such a nasty face first. And I'm like, okay, like mother, like daughter.
Then they keep the conversation going. And then there's a little break and Ashley goes, your fingers don't get greasy and the cheese doesn't slide off.
And they continue, like, and Ella makes another, like, oh, you're still going on about this? And is then, basically what Ella says.
And then they're like, oh, sometimes I just wish we were still in that basement. How did we get out?
I just have to say, I know that they're like bringing it back because it was this iconic moment, but like, what an insane thing. Really?
You wish you were still in the basement?
You were there for like a couple hours. You need to chill out about it.
We don't know how long they were there.
Okay.
Because Pam literally didn't drink for a year after that.
Right. Well, I'm like, Pam probably didn't drink for a year before it either. You know what I mean?
That was the first night she ever had anything to drink.
But I'm just like, it's so, I know why they're bringing it up, but it's hilarious that they're bringing it up that this was like a simpler time in their life when they were in the basement.
It's like arguably much more difficult. You got
locked in the basement for like 3 hours.
Because your girls were like going through a really traumatic thing.
Yeah. Like, you're like, you know what? That time was so much simpler when our girls were fully trapped like in a dollhouse and we were in the basement. Like, I just liked it better.
So
we never talk about it again.
A little moment with Toby and Emily, and there Emily's asking Toby to be her Manny. And then Emily sees Sydney Sweeney and the other girl, Hadley. And she's like, guys, you need to get away from Addie. And here's what I have to say. We'll get to the whole Maya situation of it all. But the way that Emily is talking about Addison, it's like, Emily, you married your Addison.
No, that is such a good point. It's like, you married her and also you're obsessed. Like, you're not on school property. Like, you're at your friend's rehearsal dinner. Maybe just take the night off from, like, whatever this is. You know what I mean? And then... it's like, oh, now I know why we had to get this, because one of these girls is actually Maya's niece, allegedly.
And I didn't know Maya had siblings.
No, I didn't either. They're like, look, we want to be friends with Addison so that we're not on like the receiving end of her torture. And Emily looks at, is her name Hadley?
Hadley and then Willa is Sydney
Sweeney.
She looks
at Hadley and goes, your aunt had a real confidence to her. And that's what I loved about her. I'm like, I guess they had to tie that up for MSN to get married. Like, I guess
we had to like,
I don't know. And they're like, but we feel special because like she picked us. You don't say no to someone like Addison. And it almost feels like an exact replica of like a season one moment when we're talking about Allison and like why we loved her, even though she was so horrible, but like she picked us and like whatever. And I just still can't get over the fact that we named her Addison.
Yeah, and the way that
like
they
it's so
exactly,
on the nose, it's insane.
They finish the sentence, they say, you didn't say no to someone like her, you'd have to be dead first.
And then she just walk away, and it's like, okay, but you guys also know about the whole...
like, so, like, don't say that to Emily, because nope. Emily is like a dog with a bone.
Yeah, no,
and exactly. You've actually just, like, poured chicken broth on the bone, and completely. Now she, like, can't... She really isn't gonna let go.
Completely.
So then we go outside of the party. Toby's outside. Spencer comes out. She's Vivi's DD. And then Toby's like, that word you put on the board. And this did make me think maybe it was Alex. But I'm like, where is Spencer then?
Yeah.
Because Spencer's not in the bunker yet.
Right. That's a good point.
But like, she seems confused about the word.
I know.
Because she's like, what did I put? I don't even remember.
I also think that's it's a weird... I don't know. It's a weird moment. And anyway, so they talk about the word. Yeah, did you already say it? It's
limerence,
which he looked it up and it means a kind of unrequited love. And then they're saved by drunk Vivi. They're driving home all the wine moms. Ella calls shotgun. She tells Ashley to watch it. And we know exactly where Arya fucking gets it from. Holy shit. Holy shit. Chill with Ashmer. And then Hannah comes down and she and Ashley have a little moment. And Ashley says to her, look, it's none of my business, but don't take for granted the people who love you the most mm-hmm. just because they sometimes let you.
And then,
so you know, I am always on your side, even when you are wrong. And I'm on your side right now, even though I'm saying this to you.
And Vivi goes, Marin, get in the car.
Yeah. And so they all leave.
So we go to the Radley and Ezra and Arya are walking like into it. And they bring up the wedding. Like, I can't believe we're getting married tomorrow. And Ezra is like, please don't look like you're going to freaking cry every time I bring up our wedding.
Oh my God, your crying face is so ugly. Like, every time I bring up the wedding, can you not do that? Ew, it's making me want to not marry you anymore.
And then we find out that this wasn't Arya's first opinion. This wasn't Arya's second opinion. This was Arya's third opinion. And Ezra is like, oh my God, how long have you known?
And this she's is like so annoying weeks. To me. Because she's like, I just feel so guilty, like listening to all the toasts tonight. Your family's talking about our kids and like, I'm infertile and I feel really bad. And he's like, look, it's okay. Like, we're going to go to a fertility specialist and we'll get another opinion. And that's when she's like, oh, well, that is actually the next opinion and the next one and the next one. And I'm just like, Ezra, sorry, you don't get to be mad at her for how she chose to, like, handle the information she learned about her own body.
And also, like, he's forgetting that it's also really hard for her.
Like, yeah. It's not only does she feel more hard for her.
Not only does she feel guilty, but she's also having to mourn the future she thought she was going to have.
Exactly. And, like... I just think he's so mad that she's known for like a couple weeks. And he's like, we're supposed to go through these things together. Like, you still are, but it's her. Like, it's her body. And she's like, well, I thought this was something you couldn't get past. And he says, if you think so little of me, why would you want to marry me?
And she's like, it wasn't about you. Can you understand that it was like, about me?
Ezra, it is always about me. Me. Can't you understand that? And he's like, yes. Okay. Yes, I do know that. Sorry, so, I forgot for a second, but you're right. It's all about you.
Yes.
But, like, in this moment, like, it is all about her. Like, I'm going to give it
to her. Exactly. Z wants to be alone tonight, and he's just like, I wish you had as much faith in me as I have in you. And she's like, I love you. And he says, I love you, too, but that's not really the same thing, is it?
And he, like, turns around to leave, and you can tell that he really wants her to be like, wait, stop.
Arya walks into the
hotel,
doesn't turn around.
He turns around, and he's like, oh.
Okay, this
really
is all about her.
She's fully, like, just leaving it there. Okay, great. See you at the altar, maybe. At the altar if you show.
If you show.
You know what I mean?
Like, I guess it's up in the air
right
now.
He's like, okay, I guess I'll see what happens tomorrow. Like,
so we go to the dealer and his daycare. And this is another Shay Mitchell thing that made me laugh out loud. Because Allie's walking around. And she's like, you've said three words to me all night. And Emily says, that's not true.
There's six. There's three more. I've said six.
And
the other
okay.
thing, wait, you didn't even mention Allie's sweatshirt. Sorry.
No, I haven't yet. But Allison, I keep referring to single characters as their couple. Right?
I know, me too.
Allison, I hate the way she delivers this line. Sorry, my girl. She says, okay, either you're in a vegetative state or you're pissed at me.
Or you're pissed at me. Allie, have we seen this sweatshirt before? Or have I just seen it
before?
Well,
no, but there was a certain turn that Allie's wardrobe took where they did start to introduce these terrible things into
her
wardrobe.
I feel like she's worn this exact, like, I feel like I've seen this before.
Well, you probably have seen it.
I wonder if they did it before and it got such a reaction from people that they put it in the
finale. No, because it did get a pretty visceral reaction after this episode.
But I'm wondering, like, did it also before? And then that's why they, because they did so many callbacks in this episode. I'm like, did they put
this in? I feel like
they
had a cat, she had a cat sweatshirt at some point. And she had the avocado toast sweatshirt.
Jesus.
You're the toast to my avocado, of course.
Right. So she's got this horrible pug sweatshirt that says, like, living for the weekend or something. And Emily looks like a total smoke show. Emily's like, Emily's just like in a black button down, that's it.
I'm like, okay. Walking around in lingerie and Allie's in this.
The hotness disparity right now is crazy. And so Emily's like, well, why don't you tell me what my mom put in your purse? Is it a bomb? Like, or she listening? Like, what do you think she put in Allie's purse?
Emily. And then Emily, like, the fight doesn't even escalate before Emily goes, Allie, we are not going to bed until you tell me what's in that purse. And Allie goes, okay, remind me never to throw you a surprise party. And Emily goes, a surprise?
A surprise. I love a surprise. And she pulls out a ring. It's Emily. Oh my God. It's Emily's grandmother's ring.
And that's the opposite of Emerson is Emily.
Is Emily. Yeah. And
Emily still doesn't get what's going on though. Like, I feel like the ring comes out.
Why do you have my grandmother's ring? Did you steal this? She's like, Allie, I know that I brought all those things from the attic for my baby, for the baby room. That was fine when I was doing it. Okay. You don't get to take my things, my family heirlooms. So, Allie's like, okay, I had a whole romantic proposal planned and it didn't include me in a pug sweatshirt, but I guess I'll just swing it.
And hey, your closet also should include a pug sweatshirt.
Yeah, like, exactly. And this is really sweet because Emily goes, you want to propose to me? And it's like, she can't believe that Allie really is choosing her. And
I know.
I feel like
I'm glad they had Allie propose to Emily.
Yeah, I think Emerson really needed to have this moment. Like, I guess maybe they felt like we needed to have the Maya moment to tie that up. And then also having this moment where it's like, we see the Pam and Allie thing happen. Mm-hmm. We need
and
that.
And how far Pam has come.
And then we get this moment where it's like,
I love when Emily says, you want to propose to me? And Allie goes, I'm still trying to.
Yes. But it's just like, you see on Emily's face, it's just like, she just like never thought.
Exactly. That, and then also
happened.
Everything that Allie says in her proposal to Emily, I'm glad that the writers were able to give this moment to Emily's character, because I feel like we never, like, Paige was always just like such a bitch. Like,
totally
we never
agree.
Had, except Maya. But Maya couldn't even articulate it in this clear of a way of like, these are the things that always made Emily such a good character.
Yes. And it's like a really, really lovely moment and a really sincere proposal. And I wrote it down. She says, when I was at my worst, a lonely and unhappy and angry place, you loved me. When I was an ugly human being, you saw a beautiful soul. You make the world a better place because you see the good in it. And you make me a better woman because you searched for one.
I love that. I that do one. Too. I said, I love that lyric.
Yes. I love that lyric. Do you promise to do that every day for the rest of our lives? And they say yes. And I have to say, Fee, like, I'm pissed they got divorced. I would have preferred they killed Emily. I know that sounds insane, but I'm so
no,
serious.
But I'm sorry. The bluntness with which you go, I would have preferred they killed Emily.
It's true. Because if Shay wasn't going to do perfectionist, okay.
No, I'm with you. I actually agree, but I guess they saw the trajectory of Shay Mitchell and they were like, we just can't close that door.
I guess, but I'm just like,
we couldn't put her in a coma.
You couldn't have made her come back as a ghost.
We couldn't put her in a coma.
You do shit like that all the time, I feel.
Sorry, I still like my answer.
Okay,
put her in a coma.
Just put her in a fucking coma.
And then when you need
but
her,
then
again.
Allie like can't ever like move on, I guess, and they maybe wanted her to be a slut. I don't know, but I'm just like, I think after this moment, you're just gonna like take all this away, and
I know.
It's like, I think it's also such a moment where it's like. You see two women in a relationship having honestly like one of the most traditional
lives,
like outcomes,
except
you know,
except for
no, I know how they got pregnant,
they
that
got
whole
pregnant,
thing, I know, but I mean, like, in terms of especially for like someone like Pam, who like season one, you know,
yeah,
I feel like she'd be like, well, I just want you to be able to have, I want you to have like the kids and I want you to have this life, and it's like. And her, she was so close-minded, she, like, didn't see that as a possibility for Emily. And it's like, well, look, now she's, like, she's got the grandmother's ring. She's got the wife. She's got the two kids. She's got the, like, everything she wanted. And, like, it's all great.
Everything worked out.
The fact that they
and
then
I agree.
Make them divorce just, like,
and
takes
it's also
all of it away.
It's unlike Emily. Like,
I know. Emily's not getting divorced.
No.
Emily's sooner
dying.
And Pam's
not happy.
Emily is sooner dying.
For sure.
Like, that's... And, sorry, on two teacher salaries? No way.
Absolutely
no
not.
No way. And because Emily's not even a real teacher, because those who can't do, teach.
And those
who
can't
teach
gym. And we don't believe that, but that is a quote.
But that is a really famous quote. And I don't know who said it, but
Jack
someone,
Black.
Somebody. I know, but I wasn't going to say that. I was going to be like,
it was Aristotle.
Did we both say Aristotle at the same time?
Yeah.
Hello, sister.
All right, y'all. We are going to leave it here until next week when we finish recapping the very last episode of Pretty Little Liars ever. So, yes, we will see you next week. But in the interim, please leave us a 5-star review. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on TikTok. Do all that good stuff. And, yeah. Caroline normally does this, as you all know. But I am doing it instead this week. So, next week, we will obviously, like, formally meet Alex Drake. And it's going to be legendary, to say the least. So, yeah, we will see you next week. And go to mall, of course. I can't. It's almost like Caroline brings the magic, because that was a rough Durst impression right there.